On the mountain, in the valley, in the crowded streets, or the empty desert, in our hope, and in our waiting, we are never alone.
One, to the final installment of a series that we are in, God with Us. And I'd like to pause right here and welcome those that join us each week online. We're so glad to have you here. And we say a heartfelt welcome from Cross Point. Merry Christmas. Come on, everybody. Let's welcome all those that are joining us online. In case you haven't missed any of this, we are in this series called God with Us, and where we are taking different areas of our life and coming to the understanding that no matter where we are on our journey, that God is with us. He's with us not only on the mountaintop, He's with us in the valley, He is with us in the wilderness, He's with us in the storm. And today I want to talk about the fact that He is with us always. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And so I want us to lean in this morning, because today's going to be a little bit of a different type of installment. And the message notes there are very, very simple. I gave you some scriptures that are very important in today's message. I'm going to give you a little extra along with that. On the back of that is just some blank areas that you could take notes and follow on with us. Those are available as well online. I want to pause, though. I feel just real impressed to have a word of prayer right here, if we could. Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are with us. We steel ourselves in the midst of the hurry and scurry that comes with this season. We observe your word that says, be still and know that I am God. God, we know that you are God and that you are with us. We know that with you all things are possible. So may your word come as an encouraging word to someone today. We would realize how powerful a truth it is that you are with us. Therefore, we can say, why should I be discouraged and why should I be afraid? God is with us. I thank you for your anointing, Lord, that your word would go forth and that you would speak, and that lives would be forever changed, because we are not living life alone and struggling through it by ourselves, but rather you are with us today. Be with us now, and your will be accomplished for your glory, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. As we look at this topic, the fact that God is with us, there is a truth here that really is the cornerstone of our Christian faith that's found in our theme scripture for this series. And that term is the word incarnation. I want to read, you just heard a little bit of it a moment ago. I'm going to read a little bit more there from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, if you'll follow along with me. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married, to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, everybody say it with me, God is with us. Now, to understand this term of incarnation, I want to sort of get a little bit deeper with you today. If you go to the source of all knowledge and wisdom, Wikipedia, that was a joke. Funnier when I ahead of time, but anyway. Wikipedia defines, or is it Wikipedia or Wikipedia? Yeah, I knew. Okay, Wikipedia defines incarnation this way. In Christian theology, the doctrine of the incarnation holds that Jesus, the pre-existent divine Logos, Word, and the second hypostasis of the Trinity, God the Son of the Father, taking on human body and human nature, was made flesh, conceived in the womb of Mary the Theotokos, God-bearer. The doctrine of the incarnation then entails that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully human, his two natures joined in hypostatic union. Did everybody get that? Yeah, okay. I got about half of it. I'm not sure if I even got half of that. So this morning, I want to make this a little more simple for you. I'm going to break this down in a little more simple terms and come at it from a little bit of a different perspective. And I've wrestled with approaching it in this way all week long. I've been wrestling with this, and I hope that you'll understand. I want to give a little bit of liberty here and make maybe just expound a little bit with our imagination about what could have taken place in a conversation. Now, I'm not saying this conversation actually happened, because I don't want to be charged with heresy, but the events that we're going to talk about today did happen. And here's the way I want to present this. I want us to see from a different perspective, as if there was a conversation taking place in heaven about what was about to transpire. And we know that there are conversations in heaven, right? In fact, let me just read this scripture when we talk about incarnation. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Okay? So it even talks about in the beginning that he was God, he was Word, he was with God, he was God, but then he became flesh and dwelt among us. John writes in Revelation regarding the Lamb, that the Lamb was, in Revelation 3 and 8, that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And here's what I want us to see this morning. And that is that before the world was ever created, before the world was ever made, God himself had a plan for you and I. He knew he was going to create us. He knew we were going to fall. But he had a redemption plan already in place. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says that with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spot was foreordained before the foundation of the world. That word, before the foundation of the world, that phrase there, another translation says, before the creation of the world. So we know that Jesus, you can't talk about Christmas without talking about Easter, and about talking about without talking about the cross. And we know that Jesus was slain. But the Bible records that before the foundation of the world, before the creation of the world, that Jesus was already slain, that he was already predetermined that he would go to the cross and die for you and I. That's amazing to me. That is absolutely amazing when you think about that. So with that understanding, to know that there was a plan, a pre-plan already in place for our redemption, perhaps there was a conversation before Jesus came to this earth. Again, Emmanuel, God with us, what does that mean when we look at this term of the incarnation? In fact, in Genesis, It says that God said, let us make man in our image. Obviously, there was a conversation going on there. So that if there was a conversation for the plan of redemption that was laid out, we know that God knows all things. He knew that man would, he would make man, he would fall, but he would redeem him in his infinite wisdom and knowledge. He already knew this ahead of time. But I want us to imagine this morning, if God the Father and God the Son were having a conversation before Jesus was to come to this earth, what would that look like if we were trying to explain incarnation to a child? So I'm going to break it down. I need it on child level. I don't need it on Wikipedia level, okay? So we're going to just think about what that might have looked like. So the Father is saying to the Son, Son, I want to have a conversation with you. I need to talk to you about what this is going to look like. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Let me tell you what it's going to cost you. I've selected a woman. Her name is Mary. She's going to be your mom. You're going to love her. She's a young girl that lives in Nazareth, and she's so devoted to our will. She's pure in every way. She's not like the other girls in the village. She doesn't play spin the bottle and all that stuff. She's a pure in every way. She's a virgin. She's a beautiful young girl. And then she's going to be your mom. And then there's this guy named Joseph that's going to be your stepdad. He's going to be your earthly dad, but understand, son, that I remain your heavenly father, because when you come into this earth, you're not going to have the seed of Adam flowing through you, because you're going to have me as your heavenly father. You're going to inherit my righteous state. The sin nature is not going to be a part of your nature, but you're going to be born to this couple. And Joseph won't get nearly as much airtime as Mary. There'll be statues of Mary, and Mary will have a lot of notoriety. Joseph might find his way into a nativity scene here and there. Understand that you're going to leave the glory of heaven. Before Mary births you into a cold, hard world, you're going to spend 9 months in her womb. Can't be by a stork. It can't be just showing up mysteriously, miraculously, just showing up. No, you're going to be born of a woman. And it's very, very important that you are born of a woman, because when you're born of a woman, you will be 100% God, yet 100% man. And while most people would expect you to be born in a palace, you're going to be born in a common place, in a cave where there's a manger, where there's next to farm animals. And Jesus responds and says, I like it. Everyone will know that I came for them. I didn't just come for the rich and the powerful. I came for the common. I'm coming for the common and for the ordinary. The conversation continues. So when you're born, understand this, that it's going to get complicated. I say understand this. We know that God understands all things. But he said it's going to get complicated. Before you take your first steps, Satan and all the demons in hell will be threatened by you. They'll be trying to kill you from day one. You'll first notice it by this king named Herod that's going to come for you. And he's going to kill all of the baby boys in the area hoping to hit you. Your whole family will be in danger, and you'll have to run for your lives. And so Jesus makes a note, secure, fast donkey. He says, you'll have power. You'll be 100% God, but yet 100% man. As a kid, when your mother Mary tells you to take a bath, you will have the power to part the bathwater and sit on dry tub. Just take the bath. When your father Joseph tells you to eat broccoli, you have the power to turn it into a chocolate layer cake. Just eat the broccoli, right? In school, you'll get perfect attendance. You'll have straight A's. You'll be the perfect student. You'll never be the one that talks too much and gets into troubles. All the kids are going to be jealous of you. As a job, you're going to work with wood, and you're going to be a carpenter. And you're not going to make a lot, but you're going to find satisfaction serving people. You're going to be good at it, but they won't necessarily respect you, especially people in your hometown. And it turns out that the very wood that you use to make tables, wood they will use to make a cross, and there you will die. You will begin your ministry turning water into wine to signify that there is no end to our supply, son. We never run out. There's no end to our resource. You're going to demonstrate our power to the world. You're going to heal the blinded eyes. You're going to open deaf ears. You're going to raise people from the dead. And yet, they're still going to hate you. They're going to call you a hypocrite and a drunkard and a lunatic and that you're dangerous. They're even going to say that you are my enemy. But son, just show my love to them. Just love them and love them and love them. Touch the lepers, heal the lepers, befriend the prostitutes, love all those that religion rejects. And the more you love, the more they will hate you, but just keep loving them. Love is what, not just what we do, love is what we are. But son, we must demonstrate our love to them. And when the enemy attacks, when the devil attacks, fight back with the word. When he tempts you to turn stones into bread, you'll use my word. You'll say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he tests you, you'll say, you shall not test the Lord your God. When he tempts you with riches, you'll say, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and on him only shalt thou serve. You'll have good friends. You'll have some disciples that you will love them. And yet they'll betray you. One, especially Peter, is very close to you. And he will even betray you because of a little girl that intimidated him. There will be a man by the name of Judas that will betray you with a kiss. You will be tempted in every way. You'll experience hardship on every level. You'll be tempted on all points. And that will qualify you to be their best friend, because on every level, through everything they've experienced, you will experience that, son, so that when they go through it, you'll understand and you can qualify to be their high priest and to intercede for them. And then, son, there will be a day where you will pray to me with such agony until your sweat becomes as drops of blood, as you understand the full weight of why you're here. Why you've come, and that is that you are not just born as a babe in a manger that that is going to be celebrated on Christmas, but rather you are born to be the sacrificial lamb for the world. And it's going to get worse. The cross is worse than anyone could understand or imagine. Not only the physical suffering that you'll go through, but all the sins of all mankind for all time will be placed on you, and you will become sin for them. And son, I will be with you. I will be with you until you become sin. What do you mean until I become sin? Son, I'm a holy God. I cannot look on sin. And when you become sin, I cannot look upon you. And you will die on the cross. They will nail you to a cross. They will leave you hanging there in your shame, naked before them, to shame you, to embarrass you, to humiliate you. All that you're going through to become sin for the world, that they might become the righteousness of God. But son, you won't be dead forever. Because in 3 days, when the women come to check on you, they'll realize that the stone has been moved. And that's not the only thing that's moved. You'll not be there either. You'll be risen from the dead in three days. Come on, everybody. Think about this conversation. Think about what mission Jesus took. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus, the Father might have said, when you're hanging on the cross, you have the power to call 10,000 angels, but keep thinking about them while you're on the cross. Look through the cross to the joy set before you. And look beyond and see who all this is for. And he rises from the dead. And then we see, perhaps in that same conversation, the Holy Spirit gets involved in the conversation. And Jesus says, yes, Holy Spirit, before I leave, I want to share with them that I will always be with them. That I was not only born God, Emmanuel, God with us, but now as I depart, the Holy Spirit will be sent and the Holy Spirit will always be with them wherever they go. And I'll tell them about the Holy Spirit. Look with me at this scripture, if you would, in John chapter 14. And this is where Jesus does just that. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter or an advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives, look at this, he lives with you and will be in you. I'll be with, he said, he was with you, but shall be in you. He goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. What God is saying is he is going to be with us always, always. And Jesus says, before I leave earth, I will remind them. And then he reminded them, recorded in Matthew chapter 28, when he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. And teaching them to observe or to obey everything I have commanded you, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus was saying, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you always. And why? Why the conversation continues? Because we love them and they need us. Because we need to show them who we are. We are love. Because we need them to understand the mission. And Jesus is saying, I understand. My mission is to go and bring them life. To bring them life to the full. I know and I understand what I'm going for. I'm going not for the righteous, but for sinners. Not for the healthy, but for the sick. I am the good shepherd. I will go and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I must show them your love, Father. And we can't just shout it out from heaven, but I will go to the earth and I will demonstrate our love to them. There's a scripture that says that Christ demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love to us. Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23 says this, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, say it with me again, God is with us. God is with us. Do we understand the full weight of what that truly means? And what Jesus did, and how he gave up the splendor of heaven to come to this world, not just to die, but to live, to qualify to be our best friend, but then to die in our place so that we could have life and have it to the full. And he has promised that he will always be with us. Now, as that sin separated Jesus from the Father in that moment on the cross where God could not look upon sin, guess what? Now, because we become the righteousness of God, God can now look upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we are no longer separated from him. It's not God up there and we're down here. Now God has reunited us. We are with God. God is with us. Come on, everybody. God is with us. So we are blessed because God is with us. And if we become lost, we know that God is with us as our guide. If we are attacked, God is with us as our defender. If we're alone, God is with us as our companion. If we're hurting, God is with us as our comforter. If we're afraid, God is with us as our peace. If we're sick, we know that God is with us as our healer. If we are weak, we know that God is with us as our strength. If we are in sin, God is with us as our Savior. God is with us. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Some of us are not just in darkness, we're in deep darkness. Our life is in a deep mess. We're in a place where we ought not be. But here's the hope, that Jesus has come and light has sprung up. And God is now with us. We are not walking this thing alone. And Isaiah, on in that same chapter, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want you to look at the first three words there. For unto us. For unto us is given God. God is now with us. For unto us, God has done all this. Think about this. For unto us. This week, Kim and I were, actually one of the most painful things for me is buying Christmas. Not that I don't want to buy Christmas, it's just I don't know what to buy, you know? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, I'm telling the boys, look, no list. No Christmas, question mark. I need a list. I need some help here. I told my son this week, I said, don't look under the tree for your Christmas if you don't give me a list. Look in the tree. Your gift card will be hid somewhere on one of the limbs in the tree. Just, you know. And so my wife and I were actually at Harris Teeter up here in Harrisburg, and we were shopping, and we were buying a bunch of gift cards. A bunch of gift cards. And they had them all there. You got the rack. I said, look at this. And when we got ready to go, I said, how much did we spend at Harris Teeter? I said, I guess we did do a bunch of shopping, Christmas shopping at Harris Teeter, all in form of cards. So we got, you know, we got Bass. Okay, people from Florida, if you're listening, don't listen right now. My family, because you'll know what's coming. Bass Pro Shop, Outdoor World. Come on, where's my Bass Pro people, right? Okay, we got Roadhouse Grill, Pizza Hut, come on. What else did we get? Chick-fil-A. I'm just trying to think of all the ones we got. You know, my mom, I did get her Krispy Kreme donut card. Did you feel that one? But you know what the best card is? It's one of those that just, it's not specific. It's like a MasterCard or Visa one. You know what I'm talking about? Because listen, when you have that, you can go everywhere. You can go anywhere. It's whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be a steak and baked potato, it's a steak and baked potato. If you want it to be a chocolate cream filled donut, it's a chocolate cream filled donut. If you want it to be a Bass Pro Shop fishing rod and reel, it's a Bass Pro Shop fishing rod and reel. It's whatever you want it to be as far as it'll go, but I'm just saying. Now think about this. For unto us, it's better than a MasterCard, y'all. He's everything and more that you'll ever want. He's saying, for unto us is born God. Think about this. And God is with us everywhere we go. He's always there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. When everybody else has forsaken us and abandoned us and left us and everything's going against us, God is with us. He said, I'll never leave you. So when you're depressed and when you're lonely, when you're hurting and when your marriage is in trouble and when your finances are a mess and when you don't know what to do or where to go and you're at the end of your wits end and you're stressed out and you're just, you got all kind of trouble physically, financially, every way you could think of. You got relationships that have gone awry and everything is against you. He's with you. And he says, if I'm with you and if I'm for you, tell me who can be against you? We've got more than a MasterCard. We've got the Master. He's the one that can calm the seas. He's with you on the mountaintop, but He's with you in the valley. He's with you in the wilderness. He's with you in the storm. He's always with you. He's as close as the mention of His name. You don't have to worry about having a cell phone signal. You just speak His name. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know about you, but there's comfort in that. There's comfort in that. In fact, Jesus said, my presence through the power of the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. There's comfort in that. So you don't need to be distraught. We don't need to be stressed out in the midst of this Christmas season. We can experience peace because we have the Prince of Peace. We can experience joy because we have the source of all joy. We can walk in love because the King of Love is our Father. We can walk, listen to this, we can walk with no shame and no guilt hanging over our head and no condemnation because Jesus has already born and died and paid for all of that for us, so we don't have to walk in shame and guilt over yesterday. Listen, you can have a future because He's already taken care of your past. Come on. You can have good relationships because He's already reconciled the main relationship, and that's between you and His Father. He's bridged the gap. He's Emmanuel. Think about what He did. Think about what He agreed to do. And in fact, you think about it. When He was here, He said, everything I do what my Father tells me to do. I listen to what the Father says, that conversation, and I follow what He says to do. That's what I'm here to do, the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was this, that He sent His Son on a mission trip to seek and to save that which is lost. He was on a rescue mission to find us. He's our everything. What more can you want? What more could you ask for? What more do you need? He owns it all, and we belong to Him. He's already taken care of our past, but not only our past, He promises a future and eternity that's indescribable. The Bible says it's not entered into the heart of man. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's not even entered into our mind the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. Oh, He's a good God. Somebody help me praise this God who is with us today. Come on, somebody give Him the praise that's due His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, Lord, for your presence. But I pray this morning for those that somehow we've missed you. In the stress of life, the difficulties of life, the complexities of life, we've kind of been going along. We pull up our bootstraps, try our best to work it out ourselves. Struggle. Lord, today may we discover your presence. May we discover your peace. Pray you'd heal hearts, change lives. I want to give an opportunity this morning for those that need this peace that we're talking about, especially in this season. You need to know Him. You need His presence. You know about Him, but really, is His presence really present there with you each and every day? Are you experiencing Him? Have you invited Him in? We're going to do a candlelight moment here in just a few moments. You know, there's a scripture at the beginning of the Bible that says, let there be light. That word let simply means to allow in, to allow in. And that's simply what we must do, is allow Him in to our life. To allow Him to be with us. To allow Him to be in our life. If if you need to do that today, can I pray a prayer with you if you're watching online, if you're here today, but you need to allow him to come in. Maybe you've let him in the front door, but you just don't have him in every area of your house. You need to open up every compartment of your house. Come on. Every room. You need to release to him and say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I'm going to trust you with my whole life. I give my whole life to you, God. Not holding anything back, Lord. I want to surrender everything to you. I want you to be the Lord of all. I want to pray with you. I want to pray a prayer with you. If that's you and say, Pastor, that's a prayer that I need to pray. I need to let him in. I need to allow him in my life. Be Emmanuel in my life. That's you. Would you slip up a hand while your heads are bowed? Let me just see who I'm praying with. Yes, good job, good job, good job, good job. All over this place. If you're watching online, would you join us? Come on, together, can we pray something like this from the heart? Let me just help you. Come on, everybody pray it out loud for support, would you? Come on, pray it aloud, not a soft, pray it aloud. Say, Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to give me life, to take my place, to pay my debt, so I could be free and I could have a new beginning. Today I invite you in my heart. Forgive me for going my way. I turn to you. I allow you in. Be the Lord of my life. Make me brand new on the inside. Today I give you my life. And with all my heart I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for every person who prayed that prayer. God, and I pray that now in every area of their life, Lord, when we declare you're Lord of all, when we declare that we're allowing you to be Lord of our life, that means every area. So, Lord, I thank you now, day by day. God, help us to walk with you, to talk with you, to have a relationship with you, to receive your peace, to receive your strength. I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we've received your light, help us to be your light. God, help us to be your representatives on this earth, to let your light shine, that they may see you, God, that they may bring glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.